It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day and my day, because I get to listen to Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde, the doctor of football. Brian, good afternoon.
How are we doing?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
You should not be fantastic. If I were you, I'd be bothered.
Why?
Because The former athletic director, Barry Alvarez, who I believe should immediately be the interim athletic director if he wants the job. I don't know that he does. I don't know how old he is. He's older than I am. Is he like 80? Anyway, he suggested Mark Tauscher maybe as athletic director. And if I were you, I'd go, what? He's 79. What about me? What about Brian Belaga? You weren't aware that he suggested Mark Tauscher as the new athletic director. I think he was just kidding, but
I was not aware he mentioned Tausch. I know a lot of people said Tausch, but I wasn't aware Barry said that.
People said that. Look, I'm a fan of Tausch, but I think, heads up, that would be a good battle. Brian Belaga versus Mark Tauscher, athletic directors. I'd be more than happy to have you at Wisconsin. I'm not sure. If you were athletic director, would it only be at, Iowa? If I'm the president at Wisconsin, I go, Brian, I know you played at Iowa. I want you to be the athletic director at Wisconsin. Would you be willing to take that job at Wisconsin, even though you are connected very strongly with Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that where I went should be a factor of being a AD at a school.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. Everybody's different. Would you be willing to take a job as general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, even though you played for the Bears?
I think you would do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you would do that. It's all about what opportunity presents.
Right. And right? All the factors of a job, but you would not hold and say, no, I can't take that job. I had an opportunity to take a job once, but I knew it meant firing someone, and I said, "No, I'm not taking the job if that's what you got to do." So,
well, I understand, I get that, but based on school allegiance or where you went
this
to college or where
you would probably have made that same decision. I think your overall standards in life are a little bit higher than mine, which I'm not bothered by at all, but. I could see there would be certain things that you would say, no, I'm just not doing that. I don't know what they are, but others might be, and you'd be like, nope, not doing that. I don't know what they are, but
I'm sure there's something. I don't know exactly. I mean, the situation would have to be presented at the time.
Yeah.
For me to, but definitely being an AD for another Big Ten university would not be, that's not off the table. It's never off the table. Would I garner the support of alumni like a Tausch would? No, would not. I think that'd be difficult to do right off the get. You'd have to put out a winning product to gather more support that they would,
yeah,
an outsider, so to speak.
You would have to have something on your resume that would wow them till they would say, I don't care if he went to Iowa. I don't care what he did. I want this guy.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to do something. And obviously, we know how the Wisconsin-Iowa thing is. It'd have to be something really impressive.
Yeah, well, who's really the guy impressive at Iowa State? He's at Wisconsin. I know him. He's like 61. I have to remember his name. He's the athletic director at Iowa State. I'll have to look it up. This is really terrible. I should write these things down. But what?
Jamie Pollard.
Jamie Pollard. Yes, I actually have met him. I know him, I think.
You think? How do you think you know somebody?
Because I'm sure I've met him. I know Barry Alvarez. I know Barry Alvarez better than anybody. Barry Alvarez fired me. No one knows this. He will deny it.
Go on.
I was the host of the Barry Alvarez radio show. It was on Mondays. Many, many years ago, probably like 19. When did they win the Rose Bowl?
94, I believe.
94. And then after a year or two, he decided that he didn't want to do it. He didn't say with me. I wanted it on Monday. He didn't want. He decided after a year. And I've said Barry Alvarez made Wisconsin. It's not the other way around. Like, Hayden Fry made Iowa. It's not the other way around.
Yeah.
Now, there was some success at Iowa, but that's Old Testament, you know. And to the credit of Iowa, they have taken what Hayden Fry did and achieved a certain level. I would say not as high as Hayden Fry got it, right? They were like number one in the country, but it's the same way at Wisconsin. Wisconsin was nothing, and there was no guarantee they'd ever be anything until Barry Alvarez showed up. And then hired, and he did it as AD, and they hired pretty good coaches after it, as they have done at Iowa. But I want to tell Iowa, there's no guarantee you're going to stay good.
No. No.
People look at Alabama and how great they were with Saban. Go back and see how they were when they had a guy, Shula, as their head coach. They were nothing. There's no guarantee. Al McGuire made Marquette. I do the Marquette games. He went to the final championship game twice in 4 years. They haven't made one since, and it's 50 years. Why? Because he made Marquette, and they haven't had another Al McGuire. They've been much better, and they've been good and had good moments, Dwayne Wade being. But, you know, there's absolutely no guarantee that when Kirk Ferentz leaves that the next person will be as good. And if they think they're going to be good just because they're at Iowa.
Not true.
Not true.
Not true. Do you think Wisconsin's biggest, and obviously I don't know if it was controversial or not, but when Bill Mallette, do you think that was the start of the downfall?
I don't know, because I think Chris did pretty well. And Bielema, I know Barry was upset because Bielema didn't tell him, but if I have a chance to coach back then in Wisconsin or the SEC, I'm going to the SEC. Sorry. Now, I would probably have told Barry because I got the job because of Barry. You know.
Where did he go to? He went to Arkansas?
Yeah.
Was Arkansas a better program than Wisconsin?
Hell yes.
Man, you thought it was?
Yes. I'd leave Wisconsin to go to Arkansas at that time every day and twice. Now, you have to be old enough to know the excellence of Arkansas. Arkansas was like Oklahoma, Frank Bros, Ed. And, yes, I believe that you can win. At that time, you could win as well at Arkansas as Wisconsin. Yes. And it was a better conference back then. Now, I don't know. So, I'm sure he was upset about that. But then, is that when they brought in Anderson? And he won, but it just didn't seem to work. And then Paul Christ got the job. So, all of which are the decisions. And then Barry Alvarez hires McIntosh because he was his assistant. He thought he would do it. Well, there's no guarantee you're going to do it. He picked the top available coach in the country when he took Luke Fickell. The easiest decision ever. If Fickell hadn't been available, maybe Jim Leonard would have got it. I said at the time I would take Fickell over Leonard. Dude could coach anywhere in the country. hasn't worked out so well.
No.
I don't know how much of that is the result of not having money. I think that's a huge part of it. But there's no guarantee that Luke Fickell can win even with money, but we'll get the what I think is the first look this year. I do want to emphasize, while I don't normally like to admit I don't know diddly, when it comes to this stuff, I don't know 10 times diddly. And every day you're on with me, you probably get tired of, oh, Homer's going to go talking about not knowing about who's getting the money.
It's true.
Yeah. It hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, listen, I guess now that more money has come in, right, we don't know the exact amount or who's getting what or how it's getting divvied up. We don't know that. But what is the, I guess, grace period for Fickell? Say it doesn't go well. And he got more money this year.
Well,
we all know he got more money.
Right. I guess my understanding was bottom third in the Big Ten of money, now in the top third. And this is his first year. So I would say you're probably going to get more than this year. If they fail terribly this year, that means even with the money, he can't pick the right kids. I don't know how much stories you hear. I never hear stories from people I know. You remember that kid? He's getting $1.5 million. And I go, he's not that good. Hey. I never said he was good. I'm just telling you. I don't know. I'm not asking for names. You got to hear stories from people or coaches or like this guy might be making this much money or not.
Yeah. No, I've talked to guys that have coached in college, and especially the early days of NIL when it first hit. They would have a easy commit, and the kid was maybe – and again, these are all the star rankings, so like it doesn't really mean much, to be honest with you. But it's a two-star kid. Maybe had three or four offers. They have the kid on a nice NIL package. About 3 days before signing day, kid calls, says, hey, I have 500 grand from this school. Can you guys up it to 600 and then we'll stay committed? It's just like,
And this is before transfer portal opens. This is what I've claimed how it works.
Yeah.
So then when they say, if they say no, the person says, I've entered the transfer portal. If Iowa does or any school, then he just stays committed to Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And it's not even with like the creme de la creme players. It is everybody. It's everybody. Everybody's
right.
doing it.
Do you know what I wish? Do you know what I wish? I wish you had a kid that was involved in this.
So do I.
Because like, I can imagine how you'd be as a parent. Like, okay, here's the number. Dial us up.
Yes.
And then you talk to your kid. Where would you like to go? These are the numbers. Well, and then what do you think? How much of a discount are you going to? My best friend is the head coach at this school. How much of a discount are we going to give him? I think Brian Bulaga would be not much.
No, not too big of a
discount. I get a pretty good education anywhere I want if I want to get an education.
Correct. That's all these universities.
They're all
That's great. All these universities. Yes. Yeah. That's all these universities. You get a good education. It's down to the dollar. So it's down to the dollar.
I might
but that's what's happening. Like that's what's happening. And it's like that's why it's becoming so that's why these guys are going into the transfer portal. Because they want the proven commodity than a kid out of high school that's like a two-star recruit asking for 500 grand.
Right. And I think that I'm convinced of this. The one thing they're going to change is the transfer portal.
Yes.
Because if you're only allowed, and this I guess once where you can go immediately, then where I go, I'm going to have a different standard because I know this is it. The next time if I try to do it, I got to sit out a year.
Yep.
And I don't want to do that. Now, can they get that done? I mean, I guess I got to believe they can. You have to convince the players and the players' representatives. I don't know. If I were you or I had a son, I don't want that. I want to be able to transfer every year. I never know how it's going to work out. Transferring means I could, if I didn't play well, I can go somewhere else and play more. I mean.
Well, it's certainly, it's the bargaining chip you have against the school you're with. To get more money. It's your leverage.
And it allows other schools to explore everyone.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's your leverage piece. So, like, I don't know how they're going to get players to agree to it. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean,
they have to get some sort of government. I don't know. I don't understand this. But, yes, they at the present, who would agree to it? Why would you? However, it seems to me, and again, I risk that you can say, I mean, they've created it in the NFL. They have a salary cap. How do they do it? Well, they said, look it, you can go play somewhere else. You don't want to deal with the salary cap or whatever we have, then go play in the CFL. Go play, right? You can play other leagues. I guess at some point you could say, fine, you don't want to play NCAA football or football, then fine. Go play somewhere else, right? I mean, you're now professionals.
Essentially, yes.
It just seems to me that if you could change one thing that would change everything else to some degree, this is it.
Yep, because you're not getting rid of the money.
Right.
The money's going nowhere. So if there's something you can change to reel it in a little bit, that's what it is.
All right, now, before we get to Jason Wilde, it's not a difficulty, but all the different things that people ask about, well, Bulaga this and Bulaga that, and then, you know, like, well, what does he think about? And I think my view on Goody is he's been there a number of years. Goody's just Goody. I expect the team's going to be good. How do I like some things over others? I don't know. It's Goody. So I have a standard for the team that's going to be there. And I think the standards of the team will be good, but not good enough. Now, he can prove me wrong, and they certainly made the big push on Micah Parsons, but that kind of – so not good enough. Who's better? Rams, now Seattle. San Francisco seems to be up there, and now I think the division, I think the Bears are no longer an embarrassment to themselves. So now you have one.
Yeah.
So it's so how are they going to do? I don't know. I guess they're going to do pretty well. The belief last year that if the guys hadn't got hurt, they would have gone all the way. I can't be sold by that because I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
With this Goody and LaFleur. Now the best chance they had were the first couple years when they had and were a part of one of the great quarterbacks ever. And they got close.
Yep.
So I'll leave it up to you. I need to analyze more, but my analysis is, you know, like you would say about another player privately. He's good, but not that good. Versus, oh man. Just like I think anybody said about Seattle. Their quarterback bailed them out in the one game where they need a lot of points, but damn, that defense is tough. I don't even know the names of the players.
No, that's the problem with
not
that.
They're not old guys. And so, all right, I'll let you and Jason talk, and I'll shut up, maybe. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah, we have to change this. It's now Jason Wilde on the Yuengling Hotline. Legend Hotline. Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year Hotline. Whatever, but that deep voice. We're joined right now by Jason Wilde on the Yuengling Hotline. Good afternoon, Jason. Good evening.
Jason Wilde joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now in Wisconsin, six generations family owned and operated. D.G. Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
You always do it a lot longer than I do. I don't know if I'm. Am I in trouble
You're always in trouble.
I don't think there's any problem. People knowing what Yuengling is. If you don't know what it is,
it's new here.
Then you are it's new here. It is not new. That should be the Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Is there anyone out there who doesn't know what Yuengling is, or I don't know way to put this? Like, did anybody know what Coors was when they showed up all around the country after being only in All right, let's ask Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga, I know damn well you'd heard of Yuengling because you've been at various times in Pennsylvania where everybody drank that beer. Am I correct?
Yeah, very, very familiar with Yuengling.
Yes.
Very familiar.
And there's one other aspect to it I would like to ask Jason. It's good!
Yeah, it is good.
I'm glad you like it. Good.
I've never heard anybody not like it. Brian Bulaga, ever run into anybody who, I mean, they may not like it as much as I like. I've never heard anybody say that. It's not any good.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone like push a can away because it tastes bad.
Yeah, unlike Red, White, and Blue, which I did as a kid. It's as a student at Wisconsin. It was Pabst's lower brand, worst beer I've ever had in my life.
Thanks for clarifying that you weren't drinking in the third grade.
I was underage. I drank illegally at Wisconsin. I was 17 when I got here. First thing I bought was two cases of Huber beer for $5 right at the sign that I saw. I don't even remember what store it was.
You've always been cheap. That's good to know.
Okay. Take it away, Doc. I spent too much of the time that's good between the two.
That's
true, actually.
That's rich. Jason, there's absolutely 0% chance, and I'm pulling a homerism on this.
Yes! I said,
Oh, my God.
This is my greatest day doing the Brian Bulaga homer. Only once. He may never do it again.
Yeah, like this is this one, all the, I would say, hype or fake buzz about a trade for Dexter Lawrence. There is a 0% chance of that taking place, isn't there?
Yeah, again, if I'm going to scold Homer, I'm going to scold you. Nothing is ever a 0%
chance. Yeah, I'm at 5%. I can't go lower than 5, but.
I still can't believe that they acquired Micah Parsons, so I never say never. But, you know, first of all, and look, Adam Schefter is 1,000 times better at this than I am, maybe more. I will say, though, that teams are smart and agents are smart, and obviously the Giants are smart. Well, maybe not. I mean, Joe Shane, his GM work, maybe he's not that smart. I think I might have called him dumb yesterday on yesterday's edition of the Homer Hour.
He's made questionable decisions, and this would be one more.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, that's so. But I would think that it behooves everyone except the Packers to be having different teams mentioned as interested or in the mix, right? Like if you're the Giants, you know, and you want to get it out there that, hey, well, we got so many teams interested. You tell Adam Schefter, well, let's see, we've talked to the Packers, we've talked to Team X, Team Y, Team Z. And I'm not saying it's a lie. Like I'm sure Goody has called and just said, hey, what are you guys thinking price-wise? Or, you know, can we take another really good player away from you like we did with Xavier McKinney? We still can't believe you let him get out your door. But I just – there's a difference between inquiries and actually being willing to make the trade. And you know, Adam said the price is a second and a fifth. First of all, I'm not convinced that he's playing at that level. My understanding is he did not play well last year. I haven't broken down the film of him, but I get the impression otherwise he's under contract. All he just wants is more money. So you're basically saying, you know, the Packers would have to not only give up multiple picks when they don't have many to begin with, and then pay him the way they, not to the same degree, but the same way, they'd have to pay him like they paid Micah Parsons after the trade. Like it just, this makes slightly more sense than this narrative that Diana Rossini put out there that the Packers were interested in Kirk Cousins as their backup quarterback. And again, do I think it's possible that, you know, Goody made a
call?
Does
she know Kirk? And said, hey,
I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry,
anything
that
about
was.
That.
I want to apologize. That was a cheap shot, but it was just it was too easy.
Hard to keep shots like that.
All right,
but
go ahead.
Point is
I won't say anymore.
I never believed that they were going to do that because they're not going to spend $10 million on an aging backup quarterback. I'm telling you, the formula that they like is a reclamation project, and believing that their coaching staff, like they did with Malik Willis, can get that guy to be better. And whether or not they're right about Desmond Ridder or Kyle McCord or whoever it may end up being, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But I just – that never made sense to me, and neither does this.
Yeah. I just look at it from a salary and a trade standpoint. The Packers don't have the capital to do it. And from a financial standpoint, I don't know how you do that.
Well, and to me, the reason why it's different than Kirk Cousins by a tiny little bit is that they do need help on the interior of the defensive line. We would all agree on that. I guess my other question is, if they're going to truly be a 3-4, though, like, who's their nose?
That's a great question.
Who do they have that can play nose? Like, Colby Wooden played it last year when they'd be in those alignments, and they traded him for Zaire Franklin. Is Nazir Stackhouse big enough or good enough to play that many snaps? They brought back Jonathan Ford, who, when they had him for 2 years, never played a down for the Packers. Then he went to the Bears for that period. And then when they were really desperate for defensive line help, he had been released by the Bears and they snatched him up. Like, he's a big guy, but is he any good? Like, if you have a good nose, man, you don't let – that's another commodity. You know, Ted used to always say the good Lord only made so many big guys, and he was right. So, again, I don't know that this makes sense, but it does on the one point of they are thin on the interior of the defensive line, and he's an interior defensive lineman.
That's about as much as the correlation that I would put to it, but there's other
things. Agreed. Yep.
Can I ask both of you, when I think of interior defensive linemen, that's one group that I think players can play as rookies, but I don't know that I've actually even studied it. It's just as always, there's that rotation there. Am I accurate in that? That's a...
Let Brian, you answer that.
I think rookies can be very successful on the interior part of the defensive line. I think especially because like you said, they rotate heavily. And depending on what scheme you're playing, just like Jason mentioned, nose tackles aren't in. They're not three down players. First down, they get out of a certain personnel group on defense changes, they're out. Like it really all depends on the way the game's going. Are you playing a run-heavy team? Are you playing a pass-heavy team? And so, I think a rookie can be very successful, even at the three-tech as well. We've seen a bunch of examples of that. Now, those guys were studs. Like, you're looking at the Aaron Donalds and Gerald McCoys and Sue's and guys like that. But it's more than possible to be done. Like, that interior players as rookies could be very, very good and contribute a ton.
Yeah, B.J. Raji did it the year before you arrived.
Yep, exactly. And he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was not bad. Bigger fella.
Jason, what are they done with all their visits now? Or are they bringing – I don't know if the information's accurate, but are they bringing in guys that are more second-round pick guys that are projected second-round pick guys that they're speaking to now? Did I read that right or see that right? Or – am I way off?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think you're way off. I mean, I also think they're still doing the same thing that they've done in the past where they, bring in guys that are day three guys, some of them even, seventh round guys or undrafted free agent guys. Like, they obviously brought in Golden, but a lot of times in past years, they've brought in guys. They didn't bring anybody that was actually someone that they took in the first round. Like, Golden was actually kind of an exception. I can't remember if they brought in Jordan Morgan or not. I know they brought in Edgerrin Cooper a couple of years ago. But, like, a lot of times it's almost to get a leg up on guys that, you're kind of on day three and you're trying to figure out who you really like or who's left that you like, I should say. And so they use those visits, I think, differently than a lot of teams. Like, I think most teams, I don't have any empirical data to back this up, but I think most of them use it on day one and day two picks because those are obviously guys that you are spending a greater level of capital on, so you want to make sure you're sure about them. Whereas it's almost like a recruiting tool for the Packers. Like, hey, we like you on day three. If somehow, you slip through and we end up going a different direction, we'd love to have you here. Like, they get 30 of them. Plus, there's also, and maybe that's one way that it changed, is that they've also added additional virtual visits that they're able to do. So they still have the 30 in person, but I can't remember if it was 8 or 10, something like that, of additional virtual visits that you're permitted now. So maybe they're starting to use those for, you know, day three type guys. But certainly some second round talents have been among that, the people on that list for sure.
What I'm going to change gears from draft picks to current players, because I, or really just a room, who in your opinion, or I guess this is early because of the Wicks trade, in that wide receiver room, right? Do you see, I guess we don't know how it's going to shake out. Obviously, we have to wait till training camp to see how these things play out. But just early looking, do you see Golden being somehow elevated into that two spot over Reed?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I don't think, you know, I think he's a – let me figure out how I want to phrase this. First of all, did you realize that he and Reed are at least listed at the same height? Neither No. one of those guys are big guys. Like, and I think that's why we thought after Reed broke his collarbone that they would use Golden inside more and he'd become their slot guy. And instead, my God, there were times when they were using Christian Watson as their slot guy a lot last year. So I kind of realized it the first time I met Golden in the locker room, and I was like, I thought, kind of like the old joke about Rodgers, I thought he'd be bigger. He's not a huge dude. Like, he's muscular, but so is Reed. They're no bigger than Randall Cobb. I think they're all kind of the same size. Okay. So I don't know what they're thinking, but I don't think he's like this. And obviously Randall lined up outside sometimes too, but it does feel like he's viewed very differently. He's obviously faster than Reed. They're 40 times his weight is significantly faster coming out of college. But look, it's those three, and then it's Savion Williams, and then, you know, it's either they draft somebody or Bo Melton goes back to being a wide receiver. They've got a few other wide receiver guys that are like practice squad types that they've kept around. I don't know if any of them are ready to elevate. You know, Tausch made the point today on our show about how, yes, this is obviously a big opportunity for Golden, but it's also a huge opportunity for Savion Williams. And I'm still not entirely sure what exactly Savion Williams is. Like, he was sold to us as Cordarrelle Patterson, and instead, I mean, he had 10 catches last year. Like, you know, he did not, and I know he had an injury that he was dealing with and whatever else, but it's not like he had an instant impact. Like, you know, he's a couple of catches ahead of Amari Rodgers' rookie numbers.
Whoa, you got to apologize for that. You got to, come on.
And you don't want
to. You can't do that.
You know,
that's all anybody's
Amari Rodgers. Amari Rodgers had 5 catches as a rookie.
Hold on.
I mean,
Are you telling me there's any similarity between those two at all? Because nothing else you will ever say about him will equal. All right. Okay. Just checking.
Well, I mean, for one, I don't think Savion Williams has had his quarterback destroy his confidence, which I do think I do think Aaron Rodgers did that. Like, he may have failed anyway, but he is one of the few examples where I would say that. Well, because look, and look, Aaron and I have talked about this in the past, not recently, obviously.
What does he say?
But like, the when key. You say no, not about him specifically. The key. Well, maybe it was about him specifically. No, it was. It was in the locker room after they released him or something. I was like, man, you were hard on him. And he's like, well, that's how it's this is the NFL. This isn't one of the teams you're coaching or something like that, he said. And my response was, yeah, but you know. And I said, look, and I can't say the phrase that I said. You can't BS a BSer. Is what I said to him. And I said, I've been here the whole time you've been here. I know that one of your leadership strengths is that you know which guys need a kick in the ass and which ones need a arm around their shoulder. And Amari Rodgers clearly needed something different than what you gave him.
My answer, I thought he would go ahead. He'd be saying, the guy's, there's nothing to help him. He's so bad that I got to.
Well, you just stepped on the punchline because
his
response was, maybe you're right, but I don't think it would have mattered.
Yeah. All right.
And you'll never know because you didn't read him correctly.
Well, no, but what did he do after? He never did anything for anybody.
Nothing, but I'll say that, look, Brian Bulaga is a confident dude, but if the Packers had put him in at guard where, by his own admission, he sucked, and they just kept playing him there, and he just kept getting beaten down and struggling and giving up sacks and playing poorly.
No.
As confident of a dude as he is, his confidence would have been in really dire straits.
See, and I disagree, would have figured it out. If they played him in the worst position, Brian Bulaga would have figured it out. He may not have been as good as he was to tackle. I don't know that he could have been a punter. Brian Bulaga would have figured it out wherever they played, but I guess Brian should answer that.
It would have taken more than a year's worth of work. I assure you that. It would have taken a while. The leash would have had to have been very long. I'll put it that way.
All right, we'll come finish this because we're late. I want to be on record. Jeremiah Love will be in the Football Hall of Fame one day. Either of you want to join that club or laugh? The running back out of Notre Dame.
I won't say there's 0%. Yeah. No, I don't want any part of that.
All right. It's Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his game, as Shaq once said, or I wasn't familiar with your game. So, I'm not gonna.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Sorry, I interrupted too many times, but
that's all right.
No, I've spent my whole life saying this. You know, I think that Brett Favre would have been great somewhere, not maybe as long or whatever. You would have been great somewhere else. I don't think you can ruin a good player, a marginal player maybe, but I'm going to let you answer that because you're probably more qualified, a little bit more qualified. You've seen him. All right, Milwaukee Weight Loss. I tell people about them because it works. That's why I was willing to try it. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. Why was I willing to try it? Because to me, someone had done it and been on it for over a year, and they lost the weight. I think a weight loss program is special only if you can keep it off for a year. I went from 229 to 204 in about 3 months, and I'm convinced I can stay now from about 204 right in there for the rest of my life. Because why? Under this program, Milwaukee Weight Loss, I eat less, and I'm okay. Isn't that what every program should be? For a limited time, get $200 off with a spring special. I don't know exactly how you'll do it. There's nothing special like you got to take a shot or anything like that. It's just getting you to eat less and be happy eating less. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, 262-235-3980. $200 off with a spring special. And you can call me if you want because I'll tell you the same thing. The key, a salad dressing and a barbecue sauce that have no calories. I can put it on anything and love it. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. I can't remember all the things. Oh, this concept about, you know, it's mental and all this other stuff. I just think 80% of that's garbage. There's a certain level of ability that you have, and I don't know. Take it away, because you've seen people at all different levels in high school, college, pros.
Yeah. No, I think there is a mental aspect of the game of self-belief and putting yourself in a mindset that I can get this done regardless of adversity, things like that. That is a part of it. There's no doubt. Elite ones, especially, like, I'm not talking even myself, I'm talking like the elite guys. Like, we'll talk about Aaron, for example. Like, his mentality is, it's crazy. And it's so dialed in, and it's on a different level.
But you played how many years?
12.
And you would have played more if you hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, if I was healthy, I would have kept
going. If you play that number of years, given how many games you start, you're elite. You're not elite like Aaron, but you're living in the same neighborhood. Your house just isn't as big.
It's nowhere near as big.
Okay.
But it's nowhere near as big. you're hitting the nail on the head. There is, talent is the biggest driving factor. It's the biggest driving factor. You have it or you don't. Your mentality can get you pretty far if your talent is decent, right? It can drive you on to,
I'm listening,
to big levels, I think, in my opinion. If you're an absolute grinder, you have a awesome mentality, self-belief is there, and your talent is, we'll say, mid-tier, yeah, you could do great things. You really can. But, like, talent doesn't just get you in the door, right? Like, it has to then show through when things aren't going your way.
Like the receiver, I think Aaron Rodgers is basically saying, Jason, the kid sucks. He doesn't belong here. He has nothing. I'm simply hoping that maybe this is what it is, because I don't think it is, but nothing else I could try.
Yeah, so I'll be dead honest. I never followed the Amari Rodgers career path. I wasn't there. To be dead honest with you, if there was a receiver that was worth something that was good, Aaron would have made it work.
Yeah.
I know Aaron would have
well
made it work.
Well put. Well put. No, so stop, like, on that one. If there was a chance that this person could help in any way, mm-hmm, Aaron Rodgers would try to make it work. All right, final segment. I don't want you to add anything to that, because I want people to remember that forever. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.